Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Batflips and Nerds, the podcast that gives you a British take on baseball. I'm your host, John McGee. A slightly shorter podcast from us this week, after a few technical gremlins with our recording software. Perhaps he's planned it this way, but only our discussion of Alex Rodriguez remains. So you miss our views on Prince Fielder, sad, Ichiro, mad, and Tebow, bad. But you will hear Darius Austin and myself struggle with newcomer Tom Pringle's outstanding A-Rod special game. All that coming up after the jingle.
A controversial character. What you mentioned there, Darius, we lost you for a second there, but you're back, and I managed to cover it by talking. You'd never, my parents would have told you I'd be able to do that. He's a controversial character. Is it all down to how much he wanted people to like him? I mean, is that it, or was it a combination of that and ego, or was it always being told that he was going to be great from the age of, you know, 14 or 15 years old? What do you think was down to some of the stupid decisions and the reasons that he essentially became a bit of a sort of joke character in the sport?
I think it's a huge combination of things, really. The Deadspin piece that you sent a link to by Tim Marchman was excellent and made a very convincing case that a lot of A-Rod's problem was actually because he never really demanded respect from people. He was happy to sort of be subservient to Jeter when he went to New York. Sort of throughout his career, all these junctures, he never really gave people a reason to respect him. He was sort of always willing to play second fiddle at these points, and he made decisions with the PEDs that people, I think, there are obviously a lot of people who still, for them, that means, you know, once you do that, that's it. Doesn't matter how good you are or what the incident was, and let's not forget that A-Rod never actually had anything, positively confirmed. He admitted to taking them, but we don't really know the full extent of it, he didn't actually have a positive test come out. So, but some people, that's it. You know, you're the worst person in the world once you've taken a PED. So that obviously had a huge amount to do with it. And I think being in New York probably didn't help, especially not playing alongside the guy you love, John, Captain Jeter, over there.
Yeah. So for the benefit of people who are listening and who haven't read Tim Marchman's piece on Deadspin, which again, as with the other articles that we mentioned here, I will make sure I link it because it is absolutely brilliant. It's genuinely one of the best pieces of sports writing that I've read of a sort of current star in a long, long time. His theory, essentially, and Darius has touched on it there, is that A-Rod's decision to move to New York was absolutely the worst thing that he could have done, because it kind of laid him open to having to prostrate himself on the altar of Derek Jeter. The theory being that the Yankees needed Jeter more than they needed A-Rod, because he was that one semblance that they weren't just a team of mercenaries, having their self-developed captain in the middle of the field and in hitting at number two in the lineup, and having the best player in baseball, arguably one of the best players of all time in the game, as subservient to him and moving position for him was kind of central to the Yankees having that fig leaf of respectability as a team who just weren't buying the wins. But in making that decision to move to New York, Tim Marchman was suggesting essentially that A-Rod was, you know, trying to be liked and trying to win at the same time, and you know, he couldn't really have both, and he wasn't successful in New York. He won one World Series, but he didn't really get what people would have expected of him, and he became that's where he became this sort of slightly buffoonish character who was never going to be anyone's favourite because he was playing on a field with a man who was absolutely worshipped. So, I mean, did you have any takes on that article, Tom? Did you think that was an interesting way of viewing A-Rod's career?
Yeah, I mean, as you both already say, it was a fantastic article, and like you said, for the fact that it was written about a modern day guy as well, someone who's still playing, it was really good to read. But I just want to touch on something that Darius just said then. It just made me think straight away. He was never positively tested, but he admitted taking them between 2001 and 2003. Is there any chance at all, thinking about his ego, he just said that?
In order to be the person who actually admitted it. And well, that's it. He always has to control the narrative, doesn't he? He's never been able to step away from that.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm just looking at his stats. The fact that, so 2001, 52 home runs, 2002, 57, 2003, 47. And you think, okay, so supposedly he was taking PEDs then. And then it dropped to 36, then back up to 48, down to 35, back up to 54. I mean, PEDs, as we know, they don't suddenly make you be able to see the ball better. It's, you know, you're recovering. It's your power that improves. Do we think he was just saying it, just to, as you say, control the narrative and just try and draw the attention back to himself as he's in New York?
Well,
it sounds pretty outlandish, but
that's a theory. It wouldn't
be the first time something outlandish had happened today, Rod's career.
No, this is the man who.
I can't. I mean, it's difficult.
Sorry, he. This is the man who, shall we remember, said he wasn't going to re-sign with the Yankees during the World Series. So, you know, literally anything is possible.
Said he wasn't going to re-sign, was it the day before the World Series ended, and then promptly signed an absolutely massive contract?
And this is it. I mean, your statement, Tom, could quite conceivably be absolutely true. But if you had said that, let's say, Barry Bonds or Rafael Palmeiro or anybody else had said, I took drugs or admitted that they took drugs in order to garner attention, you would immediately shoot down that theory as jet fuel melts steel beams levels of madness. But,
yeah,
might be something in that. any more on that Tim Marchman article, Darius? Did you have any? Did you think it held water? Do you think that he kind of became this clown character in New York, or do you think that there was always the potential for him to be that?
I think, you know, it had to happen there, really. I think the Jeter factor and moving and, you know, just the fact that they were sort of always there next to each other, you know, both on the field and off. A-Rod made those comments about Jeter a couple of years before he joined the Yankees about how he doesn't have any, basically saying he never has any pressure on him because people aren't worried about pitching to him. They're worried about, you know, the other guys in the Yankees lineup behind him. And so he's sort of always been able to thrive in this environment where he's not the guy with the spotlight on him. And so I think that made their relations bad, and everybody in New York was on Jeter's side. And I think the contract, as much as anything, you know, for better or for worse, even though he was worth it, he was more than worth it, you know, by the measures of like guys like Fangraphs. If you look at sort of on a dollars per win basis, even though he was being paid a lot of money, he was worth well more than that. People perceived him, you know, he's got this absolutely massive deal, and now then he was in New York, and it's like, oh, you get this mega paid star who's, you know, I think people have trouble with that guy with the biggest contract and perhaps not the you know, most humble demeanour either. I think it was a bad combination, and he never shook that off. And yeah, it just sort of got more farcical in New York. It does get a bit soap opera-y with a lot of the guys there, you know, and the sports teams. Sometimes it's I think once the narrative starts, it spirals out of control a bit, and everything he did from then on was always going to be viewed in some kind of wild and crazy light, whether it was unreasonable or not.
I think that's almost inarguable, which leads us on to the next quick topic that I wanted to touch on in relation to A-Rod, which sort of places him in a different context, not necessarily the context of is he an all-time great. I think we've all accepted here that we think he was and is and should be. There was another really nice article written by the former Channel 5 baseball analyst and friend of this podcast as of this week, now following us on Twitter, David Lengel, who writes for the Guardian, amongst others, and he wrote in the Guardian his contention that A-Rod is and will be baseball's last ever crossover star. And I wanted to get your quick takes on that. So he says, everyone knows who Tom Brady is, everyone knows who Aaron Rodgers is, everyone knows who Steph Curry is, everyone knows who LeBron is. And, you know, he quoted some stats that the best known baseball player amongst the American public is Bryce Harper with a 20% recognition rate. Is A-Rod the last ever baseball megastar?
I think he's got to be, really, because he's sort of the era where the media training really wasn't there, and all the advisors weren't really there to begin with. So he's, as we've already discussed, the fact that his ego took over and he just went off the rails. I mean, now we've got so many people just watching the guy's every single move, whether it be in public, on the field, on Twitter, whatever it may be. And I think the 20% for Bryce Harper's got to be his comments that he makes every now and then. The fact that, you know, he got choked by Papelbon. I think the fact that he's the guy that is probably the most outspoken of the new generation. I mean, try and think of the guys mentioned this on Effectively Wild the other week. Try and mention something that Mike Trout has said that's controversial. There's hardly anything. And yet he's arguably the best player in baseball. I don't think you'd be able to ask the average Joe on the street who's Mike Trout, and they'll know who he is. Whereas Bryce Harper, you stand a chance.
That's absolutely right. I think if I was to ask any of my friends who's really into sports, even not necessarily not even the ones who are not sports fans, name a baseball player, the baseball player that they'd mention is probably Babe Ruth, and if it isn't, it's Alex Rodriguez, and he's no longer, and that's something of a shame. And that's obviously in the UK, where, you know, we're at a distance, but even in the US, where it's that low, that does show in some respects the problem that they've got. What about you, Darius? Do you think there'll be another A-Rod ever?
I think if there is, it would probably have to be Harper or somebody like him. I mean, there are parallels there. They're obviously both really high-profile number one picks, you know, touted as megastars well before they even turned up in the major leagues. Was Harper on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 15, I think?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's obviously still a long way to go to get to A-Rod, but what if he does get to free agency and the Yankees give him a 10-year, $500 million deal, and he's in that market and he's still, you know, maybe saying the odd controversial thing, and, you know, he's obviously a lot more of a fiery personality, both on and off the field, than somebody like Trout is. I think he might have the right combination of personality and talent and, you know, just general profile to get up towards that level. But it's hard to imagine somebody quite like A-Rod coming along again, and that storm of events coming together as it did. He had to think, not only be a very good player, but also be a high paid player and be in New York, and you have the situation with Jeter as well. You know, that almost that whole Yankees team was very well known, and I think it's difficult. It's not really a sport of megastars like basketball or American football is.
No one player can carry the team, can they? That's the other point that you need to make.
Yeah, that's an issue. So I think you need that off-field drama of the like that A-Rod provided to sort of get that same level of recognition that somebody in the NBA can just get from their on-court antics.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think you're right. I think if there's going to be anyone, unless it's someone that we're yet to know, it's going to be Harper, not just for the reasons that you've mentioned, but also because he's got pretty awesome hair, which is obviously a big factor. It's not going to be Trout, chiefly for the reason that he looks like the bad guy from an American teen movie's dim friend, and no one really wants that to be the face of baseball. Right. So,
I mean, can we be honest? Apart from Trout's baseball playing ability, he's pretty boring, isn't he? He's essentially the Russell Wilson of baseball. He's just incredibly dull.
Russell Wilson.
You don't enjoy his meteorology interest, so.
No.
Not really.
Russell Wilson does have the benefit over Trout that he is incredibly handsome and has a very gorgeous pop star wife, girlfriend.
Yeah, I'll give him that one.
You know, Trout.
His wife now, yeah, they got married, didn't they?
They did. Whereas Trout just has big arms. it looks like he's been carrying carpet. So yeah, on A-Rod, that's it. I think you're right. He and I think David Lengel is right. He is going to be baseball's last ever crossover star, and just sort of pulling those streams together in a Ghostbusters fashion. My contention was going to be that, you know, baseball's last ever megastar is Alex Rodriguez, because baseball's last ever megastar is Alex Rodriguez. He's kind of the reason, because it was him, that there's never going to be another one, because how could there be another one that was anywhere in the same orbit as that guy, both in terms of talent and in terms of just, let's be honest, sheer weirdness. Right, yeah. So before we park the man himself, Alex Rodriguez, on this day, the day of his retirement, the 12th of the 8th, 2016, we're going to have a quick game about Alex Rodriguez, and Tom's going to run us through this, and Darius and I are probably going to flail like fools in trying to answer some A-Rod trivia.
Right, it's a very simple game, and as a lover of puns, I've had to make it this. So the game's called A-Rod or A-Wrong. So what I'm going to do is give you a quote, and you have to tell me if it's A-Rod or A-Wrong. So it's either A-Rod saying it or it's somebody else. If you can tell me who it is, then that'd be brilliant. But I'm going to give you a quote. I've got about 6 or 7 quotes here, so we can stop when we get bored or it all gets silly, or we can just continue and get them all done.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so the first quote is, "This is how I define grace. You're on the main stage, and it looks like it's been rehearsed 100 times. Everything goes so smoothly. That's where I get my confidence and success. My confidence and success from knowing that I have an edge because I know I'm prepared. A-Rod or A-Wrong?" I'm going to say A-Rod.
I'm going to say A-Wrong. I think that sounds like some sort of singer or something like that.
It is A-Rod.
Oh.
So A-Rod said it, and the bit that I love is the fact that that's where I got my confidence and success, from knowing that I have an edge because I know I'm prepared. I love that part.
Yeah, because nobody else is prepared, Alex. But, I mean, how is he preparing? That's the question.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so that's one to Darius then. We'll keep score. Okay, so the next one. "I owe a lot to my parents, especially my mother and father." A-Rod or A-Wrong?
I know what I want to say, but I feel like I'm being double bluffed.
It's hilarious. I don't think it's A-Rod. I think it's A-Wrong.
I think it's A-Wrong as well.
You're both right. It is A-Wrong. That was, in fact, Greg Norman.
Greg Norman?
Amazing. Greg Norman said that. Okay, then. So next one. "With the money I'm making, I should be playing two positions. A-Rod or A-Wrong?"
Well, he said,
"With the money I'm making, I should be playing two positions."
He certainly thought he should have been playing shortstop. So I'm going to say A-Rod.
I think A-Wrong again. It is A-Wrong. That was, in fact, Pete Rose.
Of course it was.
"With the money I'm making." That was the giveaway.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Okay, then. "Therapy can be a good thing. It can be therapeutic. A-Rod or A-Wrong?" I'll say A-Rod for that one.
Yeah, I think that's A-Rod as well.
It is A-Rod. Well done.
Yeah.
Right then, Darius has got a 4-2 lead at the moment. Let's get back into this. So, "There is a difference between image and reputation. Image is nice. Reputation is developed over an entire career. Reputation is what I'm searching for. A-Rod or A-Wrong?" That sounds kind of like an A-Rod psyche kind of thing to say, so I'll say A-Rod.
Yeah, it kind of does, but it just sounds like complete nonsense, and that could be literally any sports person of all time. I think that's A-Wrong.
Darius is storming ahead here. Oh, it was A-Rod God. Again.
I right, this was a long one, I thought.
This one's a long one. I really love this one. "God created the sun, the stars, the heavens, and the earth, and made Adam and Eve. The Bible never says anything about dinosaurs. You can't say there were dinosaurs when you never saw them. Someone actually saw Adam and Eve. No one ever saw a Tyrannosaurus Rex. A Rod or A Wrong?
I think that's A Wrong. I think that might be someone like Tim Tebow or
I think I think Kurt Schilling. I think A Wrong.
It's a good shout for Kurt Schilling, but it was Carl Everett who was an outfielder from 93 to 06.
I was just thinking, it sounds like a Schilling kind of thing.
That's a great shout for Schill, though. It could have easily been a Schilling quote, that one.
I can't remember if he said anything about dinosaurs or not, but yeah.
Well, Schilling knows nothing about anything.
Who was it? Was it Keith Law who had a big Twitter row with Kurt Schilling about the presence of God?
ESPN suspended him, didn't they? Because
They suspended Keith Law. This is incredible.
Because he told him Kurt Schilling he was an idiot.
Okay, we've got two to go, and John, you can't win.
Well,
but here we go. We have a responsibility, not just as athletes, but as members of society, to treat people well, to do things the right way. A Rod or A Wrong?
That's fairly generic. I'm going to say A Rod.
Yeah. I, this is a man who, in another article I read about him this week, certainly didn't treat the tenants in the projects that he owned in Baltimore particularly well. But nevertheless, he is definitely the type of man who would say that he did. So I think that's A Rod.
It is A Rod. Point for you both. Yeah. And the final one. With Darius 7-4 up. I'd be willing to bet you, if I was a betting man, that I have never bet on baseball. A Rod or A Wrong?
I think that's Pete Rose again. So A Wrong.
Yeah, I'll agree, A Wrong.
It is A Wrong, and you're right, it is Pete Rose.
Yeah. Oh dear. Well,
I think that was alright.
I enjoyed that. More of that next time, I think.
Good collection of quotes. I feel like Pete Rose could probably fill up a whole show, actually, couldn't he?
Yeah, Pete Rose or
Pete
Wrong.
We'll have to do Pete Rose or Pete Wrong.
Yeah, well, he's both Pete Rose and Pete Wrong at the same time. Everything that comes out of his mouth, the ham-fish perk. Right, so that's the end of our A-Rod chatter, it does seem like a pretty good and fitting note to end on, a comedy come-down celebrating the farcical final week of pinch-hitting pretty boy Alex Rodriguez. But we have one last question. We mentioned it earlier on about our good friend from Miami, Jeffrey Loria, friend of the Montreal Expos and everybody else too. So here's a conundrum for both of you guys. You are Jeffrey Loria. Just put yourself in his shoes. Picture it as though you were him. You're a man who's just made Dan Jennings both your GM and your manager at once. You feel like you can only carry one dead weight on your team next year, and sort of forget that Loria would happily carry any if it sold some, you know, chips and cups of tea. Which of the following dead weights or antic players would you choose? Would you choose A-Rod, and sadly A-Wrong is not an option, Ichiro or Tim Tebow? If you could only have one of the above, A-Rod, Ichiro or Tim Tebow, and you are Jeffrey Loria, who are you going with and why, Darius?
It's really tempting for me between A-Rod and Tebow. I think Ichiro is sort of almost too nice a choice, and I don't know that he would bring the most attention and make the most money necessarily, which obviously is what Mr. Loria cares about the most. I have to say on the side note that I love the idea of people at Marlins Park having chips and a cup of tea while they watch the baseball. But I think I'm going to go with A-Rod. He'll bring it back in, do loads of merchandising around the home run chase. Maybe he'll bring Barry Bonds back out of retirement as well, stick them both in the lineup, and just have a big, just sort of have a big like season long home run derby with those two. Yeah, I could see that. So I'll go with A-Rod.
What about you, Tom?
As Darius said, I think if you're looking at it from a business point of view, the Ichiro craze has gone there. You've got all those people coming in to try and see his 3,000th hit. Ditch Ichiro immediately. It's just to be different. I would say Tebow. However, from a business point of view, again, pick A-Rod, because he's going to be the guy that's going to draw people in for maybe the first 20 games. You're going to sell shirts, you're going to sell T-shirts. But just to be different, I'll go for Tebow and just hype it up all the way through the minors and drag him all the way up through the minors, however possible, and try and get him into a Marlins uniform.
Lovely. Well, that would have left me with Ichiro, but my choice was Tebow, if only for the merchandising possibilities of a Tebow Colby Rasmus style eye black on which you could fit full passages of the Bible, not just verse and chapter headings. So instead of 316, you've got the whole citation there on your face in a Colby Rasmus style. Right.
I'll buy it.
So that's it. With Tebow wins 2-1. So
can you? I'm just imagining Tebowing after every hit now. Just sort of going down.
Yeah, just getting genuflecting at first base, yeah, whilst he's been having his ear whispered in. That is something I would pay to avoid. So that's maybe another option for Jeffrey Laurier to cash in. Right, so there we are. Tim Tebow on next year's Miami Marlins. You heard it here first. A-Rod retiring on 696 home runs on the 12th of the 8th, 2016, never coming back. And, well, maybe going into the Hall of Fame, you tell us. And that's it for this week. We've got a few parish notices to tell you before we go, where you can find us and so on. So, Darius, how do we find you on Twitter? Has Darius gone? I think he has. We'll go with you then, Tom. Where do we find you on Twitter?
So I'm at Pedroia's Face. That is Dustin Pedroia's Face. So at Pedroia's Face. Where I mainly talk about baseball for the time being, but as soon as the NFL's starting soon, I'll probably start chatting about that as well.
And we have momentarily lost Darius, so I can tell you that you can find Darius on Twitter at DariusA64. That's DariusA64. I've just told them your Twitter account, Darius. You're back. And
that was very strange. I could still hear Tom, but right, for some reason you couldn't hear me. So.
And my Twitter account is at EpuVonTail, which, as I told you last week, you can find the spelling of that by searching for the French word for scarecrow. And the Twitter account for the podcast and for the blog is @batflips_nerds, @batflips_nerds. And you can go there to find lots more of Tom's puns and lots of polls and some more blogs up on the blog in a short notice. The blog itself is at www.batflipsandnerds.wordpress.com. That's www.batflipsandnerds.wordpress.com. And the archive for the podcast is at www.soundcloud.com/batflipsandnerds. That's www.soundcloud.com/batflipsandnerds. And as of this week, touch wood, all things being equal, we will be up on iTunes, and we'll let you know via the Twitter and via the Facebook that we're there. When we are, get yourself subscribed. There'll be more podcasts soon. Give us a rating, 5 out of 5. It really helps. It gets the word out, and it might mean that we get featured. Thank you very much if you do that. That's really kind of you. If you like the podcast, tell your friends. We've got some really positive feedback on the first episode from last week. So hopefully we want to keep this up and keep you informed and give you more of our appalling opinions and definitely give you more excellent pun games. But that's all for this week, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.